Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." The next one is Matthew 15, 29 through 31. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. And finally, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Living God, help us so to hear your holy word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Oh, it's great. Terry, you're right. I'm getting stage fright from all these people. It's wonderful. Great to see you all. It's a healing experience just to be together. Have you ever been to the doctor? Anybody ever here been to the doctor? Yeah, right. That was good. That was a very appropriate chuckle. How many of you know that going to the doctor doesn't really mean going to the doctor? You go to the doctor, you go to the receptionist, and then to the nurse, and maybe you'll see a physician's assistant, and maybe you'll get an appointment to see a doctor who will give you an appointment to see the doctor. Once in a while, you'll actually see a medical professional, have an appointment, get fixed, and go home. Like going to the chiropractor, go with a crooked back, come out straight. Maybe an emergency room visit with an asthma attack, get the nebulizer, go back better. But a lot of times when you go to see the doctor, when you seek medical help, you're seeking a process. Now, I'm giving you that illustration because the two scriptures that I've chosen to frame the conversation about healing that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is what our series is based on, the two scriptures talk about process healing and instantaneous healing. The Lord who heals you through a process, and the Lord who heals you is also capable through an upwelling of grace, through a charism of the Holy Spirit, through a special overflowing of the Holy Spirit to heal you in a moment, so to speak. First, let's look at Exodus chapter 15. Now, as I look at this passage, I have a few questions. One of them is, why is a wood-based water treatment system the occasion for God receiving the title Jehovah Rapha, God who heals? Jehovah is an Anglicanized translation of the word Yahweh, so it means God. Jehovah is a word that means God. And Rapha is the root word, the Hebrew word healing. God who heals. God your healer. So why are we having a water treatment scripture being related to the Egyptians and their diseases and keeping God's commands and God healing you? What is this all about? It's not the person that gets healed. It's the water that gets healed. I have another question. Why is it a piece of wood that's healing the water? The wood, the word that's translated wood, and I didn't look very carefully to the NIV. I think it was wood that you saw up on the screen there. It means dead tree. And some of the rabbis who commented on this passage said it was a bitter tree thrown into bitter water. And God did a greater miracle by making fresh water from a bitter tree into bitter water. After a three-day journey of tremendous thirst, there's this strange miracle that leads the people of God to hear that their God is a healer. Now, what I see in that, when I see God showing Moses a tree, I see a similar thing that happened with Moses later in the journey when God said, make a snake, a bronze snake, and when you lift up the snake, everyone who looks on it will be made well. The New Testament comments on that and says, Jesus is that snake. When he was lifted up on the cross, he became sin for us. The New Testament also tells us that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he became a curse for us. Because the Old Testament law said, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. A bitter tree thrown into the bitter water of our sin. So I want to tell you that the greatest healing we could ever experience, whether you have witnessed healing miracles and broken things made well, swelling going down, pain going away, if you've seen or experienced a miracle of healing or not, if you believe in Christ, if you're a new creation, if you've received the Holy Spirit, if that invisible tongue of fire is over your head and the presence of God is in your life, you've received the most powerful and important healing that anyone could ever have. Jesus never healed anybody of old age. He could have. Yeah, he could have. And sometimes people take issue at which miracles they're able to witness and observe that Christians claim happen. And why doesn't God do this kind of miracle or that kind of miracle? One that God has never done is heal people of old age. But he has given his son on the cross so we can be raised from the dead. And if you've received Christ, you've received the most important miracle that anyone could ever have. And if you haven't, we just sang the song that you need. Just ask Christ into your heart. Say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Now here, this leads to the next important issue in Exodus 15. There are some problems that you can go to a physician to be healed from that take time and practice. Either physical therapy or a cast. If I've got a broken arm, a good doctor is going to put that arm in a sling or a cast. And if I am paying attention to the words of my good doctor, I won't break the cast so I can start playing racquetball with my broken arm. I'll leave it in that cast. And the Lord Jesus, the good doctor, has given you commandments like forgive as God has forgiven you. And bless those that persecute you. Honor your father and mother. And don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. Those are good commandments from a good God who cares about you. And sometimes they feel a little bit restrictive. And sometimes you want to throw them off. But the life that you have in Christ is a lifetime of healing. You're offered in your faith a lifetime of healing. Your entire Christian experience is an experience of healing. And you're meant to stay in it. Embrace it. A friend of mine in Iowa is a dentist. And he told us that in dentistry school, one of his instructors talked about how difficult it is to get patients to follow through with the treatments that they give themselves, like brushing their teeth. You know, that drill kind of hurts, so brush your teeth. Well, brushing your teeth is pretty simple. Everybody expects you to do it. And they talked about an optometrist that told their patient, you need to put these eye drops in your eye or you're going to lose your eyesight. The problem was in both eyes, and the patient neglected to do it and lost their eyesight in one eye. And the doctor said, please, I'm pleading with you, put the drops in your other eye. and the patient neglected to put the drops in their other eye and lost their eyesight. My friends, sometimes the doctor's instructions can seem difficult or restrictive. This is no lie. There's people out there really enjoying sin right now, having a great time at it, enjoying it, or at least thinking they're enjoying it. They're enjoying the sense of freedom that they can call their own shots and do what they want. But the God who gives you his instructions is a God who heals. And God's intentions are good. It's true. The Apostle Paul acknowledged when he was talking about the resurrection of the dead, he said, if it's only for this life that we've believed, we're to be pitied above all people. It's true. When you have to forgive people and you really don't want to, it's hard. But do it. God is your good physician, and he has good healing for you in that. If God tells you to suck it up and bless those that persecute you, it's hard, but do it. God is your good physician, and he wants to heal you. The most bitter poison, the most bitter illness we could ever have is a broken relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. And through the bitter cross, we're healed. So, point one is to simply tell you that some healing is a process, and God's Word brings you through it. It's your life. It's your destiny to be in a state of healing. So stay in it. Stay in the game. Now, point two, from Matthew 15, where Jesus is healing all kinds of people, dramatic healings, and it appears the way the story is told that they're happening one right after the other, instantaneously. It's one event with all these healings, the blind seeing, the maimed cured, the lame walking. This is an event that happens right before the feeding of the 4,000, which is a feeding that represents the nations. You saw at the end of this passage that we read that they praised the God of Israel. They didn't praise their own God. These are people who were dragging themselves for miles from pagan areas to the place where Jesus, the Israelite Messiah, was healing and saying, look what the God of Israel can do. This passage is saying that there is enough healing to go around the whole world. That God intends not just to heal the religious and the righteous, but to heal anyone. And that God's message of healing and the instruction of the gospel is for everyone. And the powerful charisms of God's grace, the overflowing of the Holy Spirit into our ordinary lives is for everyone. There's enough healing for everyone. It demonstrates that, but it also demonstrates that God wants to heal. Jesus desires to heal. He did it regularly and frequently. In fact, in other scriptures, when Jesus goes to his hometown, where he's just considered the carpenter's kid, and he's despised, there's a tone of regret, as the story is told, and it says that he did few miracles there. Few miracles. If you and I come into a moment of ministry or a moment of need, like we prayed for, we prayed for Mona earnestly and steadily. If we come into a situation like that, or a time when you say, sit down, would you pray for me for healing? It is right to assume right out of the gate that God's intention is to heal. You may be putting the brakes on. There may be a little check engine light on the dashboard of your brain for a moment. Saying, wait a minute, Pastor Dana. You know, the problem with that is that healing's probably not going to happen. So shouldn't we put in a disclaimer as soon as we pray or as soon as we start to think about healing? Because it's probably not going to happen. But we know the Sunday school answer is it's supposed to because Jesus likes to heal. Should we blame people for having not enough faith or not loving Jesus enough? I would say no. Don't blame people for not having enough faith and not loving Jesus enough. Just love Jesus and thank him that it's his will to heal. This is one little warning I would put forth. Is that our God is a great God, a righteous God, a God worthy of all of our praise and devotion, a God worthy of obedience. And the fact is that because our human nature isn't really inclined to obey the Lord's commandments, we have a tendency to only want God's will maybe 35% of the time in an ordinary day. And then when we come to the Lord asking for God's will to be done 100% with the healing, we should humble ourselves and acknowledge our tendency to want God's will when it's convenient or when it benefits us. Humble ourselves and say, I acknowledge that, and place the healing in God's hands. The description of what's happening here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is a description of a special upwelling of God's grace. God loves and heals all the time, and whenever we obey God's commands and trust in Jesus and know that our hearts are cleansed, we're experiencing healing. God's always doing it. God's always healing. But when we come to the Lord for a special upwelling of grace, it's a special upwelling of grace. It's special. It's unusual. With this list that we're going through, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, because they're called charisms, that's the word in Greek, I've compared it to an oasis in the desert. There's no rain, but wow, there's the water. A broken water main in the street, it's underneath all the time, but in a special circumstance, it flows up on the surface. It's a special circumstance. So it's okay to know that it might not happen, but it's the Lord's nature and the Lord's will to heal anyway. But do know that it's special. And do humble yourself and say, I acknowledge that there are times when I don't want your will because it doesn't please me to do your will. And I just come humbly and ask that the will that's yours, that I acknowledge because you're a healer, that I ask that that would be done for this person. Keep asking. Keep asking. I have to tell you, I want to testify, I want to give glory to God, because I personally, in my own body, have experienced healing. Okay? My best buddy Aaron experienced healing. I know of other people when we're giving glory to God for Mona being well. And a lot of these things, you just can't verify. The things I'm going to tell you about, I could be totally making them up. I could make up a story about growing an extra ear on the back of my head and, oh, it's gone, you know? I'm not making them up. I'm going to give glory to God in front of all of you and in front of the whole world on live stream. And I'm going to tell you what the Lord did for me. All right, so 5 or 6 years ago at Grace Point Church in Dubuque, Iowa, I noticed a problem in my left hand, my guitar chord hand, my CFG hand, okay? I was leading worship for that church, and I very much love music. And I want to do what the Lord wants me to do with music. And in my right hand, I've got knuckles that pop and they get swollen and it's a little goofy, but it doesn't bother me because I can still tie fishing knots. No problem. All right? But this left hand is an issue. So the pastor there, he believes in the upwellings of grace, and he's definitely not a flamboyant holy roller. But I said, please, put your hand on my hand, get an elder and pray for this hand because we cannot have this. We're not going to have arthritis or whatever in this hand. And so he said, okay, it was before worship. He and an elder prayed for my hand. I felt nothing, no heat, no fireworks, no magical moment inside, nothing. Didn't notice a difference in the hand. But within, I don't know, days or weeks, it was gone and worked perfectly. And to this day, I've had a few little moments recently when there's a little swelling. When this was happening, I prayed, Lord, let me do your will. I'll serve you. I'll play the chords you want me to play. If you want it louder, it's louder. If you want it softer, it's softer. What you want, I'll do. And so now, I'm praying that again. The other thing happened right before I moved here. I knew I was coming to a place where you can't just roll into a big hospital and get an x-ray or whatever you want whenever you want it. And I had had a painful, semi-painful, painful when you touch it, lump in my calf for over a year. I told my physician's assistant, doctor appointment helper about it, and she said, huh, and moved on with the rest of the, you know. So I went and I got a ultrasound, and the same thing happened. They said, huh, it's not a problem. Like, no explanation of what it is, why it's there, nothing. Just, not a problem, but you should get this spot looked at. So I didn't. But I went back to the same pastor, and I said, do it again, bro. Just put your hand right on that calf and pray for it. No fireworks, no nothing, no change. Except a couple months later, I noticed, hey, wait a minute. Pushed and pushed, nothing there. It's been gone ever since. Right? These are simple things. I'm just giving God glory for them. It was, maybe it was nothing, maybe it was nothing, nothing, nothing. But I'm thankful for it. And I want you to know that God is good and that God intends to heal you. And you can embrace that healing every day by embracing the difficult commands of Jesus, knowing that it's God's nature to heal, asking people for healing. And I'll tell you, we're going to go into wonderful chaos mode after church today and move everything around. But I'll hang around up front, and I'm sure there'll be elders lurking nearby. If you want prayer for the healing of soul that restores your relationship with God, or some ache or some pain, big or small, you're invited and welcome to pray with me. And I will be just as non-dramatic as my friend was. And we'll trust the Lord, because it's in His nature to heal us. It's His will. So let's turn to the Lord in prayer now. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that the bitterness of being condemned by You is gone. We're so thankful that we can come to You and know that You love us and that You don't have anger at us for the things that we've done that are so offensive to You. We thank You for the healing of the bitter cross to heal our relationship with You. And Lord, just as we've asked for You to give us a special pouring of grace for wisdom and knowledge and faith, we pray that in Your time that You continue to work miracles of healing for the building up of Your church and work them in our community. There are people who need healing and people that need to know that You love them, and maybe they'll see the healing of forgiveness through the cross. If You'll touch their body. So, Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be courageous and simply trust You. And we pray that in Your time, that You'd make all things beautiful and that You would work some ministry of healing in our midst. Not for our self-seeking, but for the goodness of Your heart and for Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.